Hey there, hope you're doing really well, and welcome to Installment Insight number 352, in which you learn how to go from mindless ferocity to kindness and curiosity. We're going to talk about buffering your suffering here and why that is not helpful to you. I think this episode will bring you a lot of value, and I want to thank Riley for providing the inspiration for this episode. Okay, so before we get started, let's actually take a look at the very message from Riley that prompted this. Let's read this together. Riley said, I think you guys should be doing an episode on how self-medication is part of avoiding anxieties instead of processing them. That would be super awesome. As someone who's used video games, food, alcohol, random internet articles to distract myself instead of listening to my brain, and then relinquishing those anxieties, I think that will land really well. I agree with you, Riley. I think this will be a really happy episode, a really helpful episode was the word I was looking for. So let's get to it. We shall start with actually the first, just quick definition here. And by the way, I want to thank Brooke Castillo from the Life Coach School. This is where I learned about buffering. And it's basically an activity or action meant to dilute a negative emotion. You know, you're doing something because you don't want to experience that negative emotion. You just want it to kind of quickly go away. That is buffering. All right. Now, to get the most out of this episode, we need to take a quick look at how the human brain works. It is a survival machine, and more specifically, it's designed to escape blue emotions, pursue yellow emotions as effectively as possible. And to illustrate this, let's take a look at this following example. I want you to imagine a gazelle grazing peacefully on that African savanna, okay? Doesn't seem troubled at all, just like grazing, but you know, they're always kind of on the lookout. And then guess what? There is a lion, you know, approaching, gets a little apprehensive. The lion starts attacking, and then along with all the other gazelles, this gazelle starts running away. Why are they doing that? Well, you would think it's because there's a lion there, of course, but that's not it. You know, if the gazelle didn't understand that the lion was dangerous, they wouldn't be running. So somehow the gazelle understands, you know, has some type of thought, this is dangerous, that produces that negative emotion of fear, and the gazelle starts charging away, you know? Super rational. The fear is super rational. That's obviously the right thing to do. Gazelle, chases away. The lion actually does catch one of the other gazelles, downs it, and then you know all the horde there starts running, start looking, and guess what? You know that poor gazelle got caught by the lion, and the lion's now actually eating it. But the horde, like the gazelle, stop running, and they actually start grazing again. You know. As bizarre as it seems, we see this, you know, in those nature shows that while a lion is actually eating one of the gazelles, the other ones have realized, okay, the danger's over, and they start grazing again. And what can we learn from this? Well, it is like that's, you know, our human brains are basically designed for those like real tangible physical threats. Escape the blue emotion as fast as possible because blue is danger. And go for the yellow emotion, like, you know, like happiness. That's something we should pursue. And we should do it as quickly as possible. You know, that's kind of survival for you. Now, in this gazelle example, another thing with it that I really want to illustrate is that emotions at baseline are fleeting. You know, if we don't respond to an emotion in any particular way, it is a fleeting. Happiness is fleeting. You know, sadness is fleeting and anxiety is fleeting. And all those emotions are fleeting, meaning, you know, sometimes it's completely expected that you feel sad for a couple of days or something like that when something has happened. But emotions are like, you know, they go away if not responded to. So I think this is important to know as we move forward. And now if you want to learn more about why it is that, you know, when we respond in a certain way, emotions get sticky. I invite you to check out Racing Thoughts and Insomnia Insight number 339. Basically, very, 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 very briefly here, negative emotions come from thoughts. Remember, thoughts produce emotions. Let's go to this one. Thoughts produce emotions. And when, you know, negative emotions are basically warning thoughts. There's a thought, a warning thought that produces a negative emotion. And when you don't want to listen, you know, you go like, blah, 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 blah. The brain thinks you got to hear this, this is super important. That's why when we don't want to listen to thoughts, they become very sticky. And as thoughts produce emotions, you can see how it's problematic when we don't want to experience an emotion as well, because then that emotion, of course, becomes very, very sticky. Okay. Now, that said, we covered a lot so far. We're doing great headway here. So remembering that thoughts produce emotions, and emotions often produce reactions. And that can be that knot in the stomach, palpitations, shallow breathing. You recognize those reactions as signs of anxiety, right? If you think about it. But that may not always be obvious to you. Sometimes you just have that palpitation, shallow breathing. You're like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And you just notice the signs, the reactions, without really understanding the emotion, even less the thought behind the emotion. Now, if you know what thoughts are driving your emotions, then this insomnia step number 339 is perfect for you. But here we're talking about buffering, which is when you actually have not identified the thought behind the emotion. So let's say that you're finding yourself like Riley did. Actually, let's take a quick look at Riley's message again here. And you see he used video games, food, alcohol, internet, all those things to kind of distract himself, which was very similar to kind of what I was writing here, which is imagine that you find yourself eating 2 bags of chips or exercising for like several hours or playing video games nonstop. And then, you know, you're kind of getting mad at yourself. Like, why did I do that? You know, why did that happen? Like, I'm terrible. I'm a terrible person for doing this. You know, what's happening here is that you're kind of like, you're wondering, like, why did I do that? You know, what's happening? You don't understand it. But the reality is that there's actually no mystery here. What you were doing when you were eating those bag of chips or playing video games or searching for internet articles or all the things that Riley mentions and that I mentioned here as well, is that you were trying to escape an emotion that was causing discomfort. Maybe you didn't even know it. Sometimes you kind of have this hunch that I felt anxious and that's why I started playing video games, or I felt anxious and that's why I was eating all these chips. Maybe you can already you already see that, you know, when you hear this, you're like, I've been buffering. I understand buffering. That's what I'm doing. Or sometimes you don't even know. You're like, ate 2 bags of chips, and you don't even understand that it was because you're anxious, because you just had those reactions, you know, those kind of sensations in your body that prompted you to escape an emotion quickly without even realizing that that emotion was there. So the next question becomes here, and we already talked about a little bit, why is buffering problematic? Because, you know, you may think, well, for 2 hours there, I actually didn't feel anxious. You know, that must have been good. I did escape it for quite a while. But the problem is that you are now, when you're doing that, when you're buffering, you are teaching the brain that anxiety, for example, or other blue emotions, that they are bad and they should be escaped, all right? That's like, if you go back to the gazelle analogy, that's you're teaching the brain that there is a lion there. And when the lion comes, I have to run. I have to escape it, right? So the brain starts surveying for the quote unquote lion here. The brain starts being like, okay, anxiety is bad. I have to look out for anxiety, because that's where you're teaching it when you are buffering. So what happens is that less and less anxiety or another negative emotion, less and less of that is needed to kind of blow up that emotion, you know, to make it like, here come, oh, wait, this anxiety. Oh no, anxiety's here again. Oh no, the lion is here. And then that tiny bit of anxiety, for example, that normally would have been super fleeting, kind of blows up and becomes a strong sign. And now you have to buffer again. And then you have to buffer more because you're escaping, you're teaching the brain that it's bad. You have to buffer and buffer and buffer and buffer and buffer and buffer more. And oftentimes you see this with, for example, safety thoughts. Somebody says, you know, when I have this negative, you know, now we go to thoughts. That was a little bit not what I intended to do here, but as we're on this topic, I think it's still helpful. Some people have a safety thought and often say, like, I used a safety thought, but now I have to use it often, more and more and more often. It's kind of the same principle here, that the more you try to escape a thought or an emotion, then, you know, the more the more you will have to work to do that again. So buffering becomes problematic because you have to buffer more again. When, you know, theoretically, like your whole day could just be like about buffering, you know? So that is the problem, of course. So now we looked quite in depth at the problem. So the question, of course, becomes, what should I be doing? If you recognize yourself, if you are thinking at this point that, yeah, I have been buffering a lot of emotions and I've been really angry at myself for doing this and I want to get away from this behavior, then what should you do? Well, this is where we talk about replacing mindless ferocity with kindness and curiosity, all right? So what do I mean by that? Well, mindless ferocity is exactly what we've been talking about here. That is, mindless is like you don't quite understand what you've been doing, and the ferocity is you are hard on yourself for kind of the actions that you don't understand. That's that mindless ferocity, which is very, very unhelpful because you start judging yourself, you start thinking you're the problem, and then you have more negative emotions, you buffer more, and it just kind of becomes a very unhelpful situation. So what is curiosity? Well, curiosity here is simply taking note of what you're doing, being mindful and understanding what is going on, okay? So when you are buffering or when you're realizing, oh, I want to buffer, oh, haha, the reason I'm doing this is because I want to escape that negative emotion, now you're approaching things not with that ferocity, but with curiosity, okay? You're just being mindful, you're aware of what you're doing, aha, big one, that's super helpful. And then if you add to that self-kindness, you know, self-compassion, when you have buffered and you start feeling like, why did I do that? Then you're like, oh, I understand why I did that. And I don't have to blame myself for it. I completely understand. It's completely rational to do that. I mean, there's a reason why we humans do that. It's not something we should do, but I don't have to be hard on myself for doing it. Now you're deploying this, you know, you're approaching things with kindness and curiosity. Now, here's the magic with kindness and curiosity. It is that you actually don't have to do anything further. You know, eventually, maybe you should abandon buffering completely, but a great place to start is simply this kindness and curiosity. When you're aware of the mind, you know, when you're aware of the buffering, it becomes impossible actually to buffer because buffering itself implies that you don't understand what's going on. So when you just know that, okay, what I'm about to do is buffering, it becomes very hard to do it because you know it's not helpful for you. And when you still do it, you're kind to yourself. So what happens when you are deploying kindness and curiosity here is that there's no mystery and buffering kind of by and of itself ceases to exist. So I think the best way to do when you're recognizing that you are buffering is simply being mindful of what you're doing and don't judge yourself if you do it, and you will see that the buffering activity will dissipate by itself. It is not really more complicated than that. Hope you found this really, really helpful, and I want to thank Riley, of course, for the inspiration for this episode. And if you think, you know, what you're hearing here sounds really good, really helpful, and you're still struggling, you know, with your sleep, etc., and you would like a little bit more support and guidance, accountability, etc., then consider joining our self-coaching master program, where we have a very nice group of very supportive students right now. You are super welcome. And we also, of course, have bedtime. If you'd like one-on-one coaching from myself, even if you just have 5 minutes a day, great option there as well. I hope this was really helpful again, and look forward to having you back here real soon. Until then, take it easy.